96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La la. Oh yeah. I represent Bahamian people. I'm from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton Rouge. Boy, I'm from Baton Rouge. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they go have to break the disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. But I do in the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the
boy, I from Baton Rouge. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Baton Rouge, boy, I from Baton Rouge.
Whoever give in, 7 years of farming, watch the crops them come in.
Good night, Bahamas, and welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentino Braun. 362-325-4316 and 325-4259, and you can text us powered by BTC at 422-GR96. And it's just a pleasure to be a host on this wonderful Friday. I know this is the weekend, and you know a lot of people like to party and etc., you know, after a long week of work. So I appreciate all of you at this particular time, you know, who tune into the show, you know, and you guys are really doing good last few years, the last few weeks. The callers have been giving good solutions and answers to many of the topics we have on the show. And it's good to know that we are all on the same page and that we could have a conversation that reaches the ears of the top brass in the country. Because it does. The show is actually be in the newspaper Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And I listen to some of the shows, you know, also follow suit. So that is a very good thing, because we want other people to be involved in helping develop this country. And if we, on the whole, we could be that change, because we could talk about topics that are very important. And you know, on this show, I talk about things that are real life, that are happening in our country. And you know, I'm not afraid, because I'm not politically inclined to nobody. Okay? The one thing I'm a little inclined, you want your country to be a better place. And if you see wrong in high places, low places, you speak upon it. And it changes the trajectory of your country. It would start to heal the nation. And I am one of those guys who cannot be bought. A problem with people to the top who has the power to make change in the country, that I would give my voice and my opinion, and based on the kind of development that I've been doing for the government, for my community, and for country, and I feel that we could solve them, some with politics, some without politics. You know, I feel that we could solve a lot of our problems without politics. But politics is the main brass and the main engine in this country that has the power. So be that change. But if you could get the governing party to listen to a specific program that you're doing that is beneficial to the country, and if you could get a hands up and they could pass as legislation in the House of Parliament, which I've been doing for many, many years. I want people to understand this. You know, I use my influence when I get invited to meetings, my past experience, and when I go to meetings and when I meet people like Lady Cheryl Wilson, for a prime example, when she was the woman's branch chairperson. And I was invited there about 15 years ago. She wanted to make a presentation for the party's, what you call it now, the party's guideline, what the party's going to use to talk to the Bahamian people about that makes sense, that is going to be beneficial to them. And I met her, you know, and we sit down by the PLP headquarters. His own opinion and has some ideas that could be beneficial to the country. And by not being in politics, but heavily involved in the development of this country, you become known. So you use that, not for your benefit. It would benefit you in the long run because you have no to explain. Like I said, I was invited. Lady Cheryl Wilson, wife of Sir Frankie Wilson. Very important people in the country down there. I was invited. Cousin them was there, Keaton Jeffy them was there. Took them with me to teach them about politics. That's why they're so inclined in politics now. You know, but I've grown beyond politics. I'm going to give it a few more years and see how far it's going to go, see how the trajectory of the country is going. So sat down with Lady Wilson. We were at the PLP headquarters, and I was the main speaker. And I was asked various different questions concerning, especially that rich kids. So I answered those questions promptly. And one of those was marijuana possession. One of those was second chance, you know, and et cetera, down the line. And I was giving these answers to her. And then she was understanding why that were asked by me, by Lady Cheryl Wilson, again, wife of Sir Frankie Wilson. Okay? And after it was done, they were amazed on the response I gave in my past experience, but they were just amazed. This was their manifesto going into the general election. And this is the manifesto that won the general election. This is the manifesto that also was put before the late, great Dr. Bernard Norwich and was passed in the House of Assembly, the same things that me and Lady Cheryl Wilson discussed in the House of Assembly. You understand? So you don't have to be in politics to make change. Okay? Don't listen to nobody. You know, you can make change as a citizen. And I can name a lot of other different programs. I could go to former Minister Tommy Tornquist on the marijuana possession. You know, minister at that time was Tommy Tornquist. Okay? They lost the general election to the PLP because I was invited to them as well. You know? They were the governing body. And I was invited to a meeting at East Street Gospel Chapel. And I was one of the main speakers along with Omar Thompson and Spotty Montan. He told them that, you know, if you get a blemish on your record with a small marijuana possession, I said I'd be on your police record for 10, 15 years. And in this Bahamas, you know, we're unforgiving as a society. And once that is on your record, you're not going to be a legal means to make a living. And in that process, you hurt law-abiding citizen of your desperation. So no one wins. So he told me that, you know, under his administration, he'd put it forth. But he let me know quite clear that it would not pass under his administration, table of legislation, House of Parliament, for misdemeanor marijuana bill table for religious use to be legalized and small amounts decriminalized. Now, for me, for those out there, table it all legalized in the country because there are many people who oppose it, and you all have your rights for it. But we have a serious problem in the country with a lot of persons who smoke marijuana in the country, regardless. So I understand y'all discord for not wanting it to be tabled or wanting a problem here in the country where many of our young youths go before the courts, charged with marijuana. They end up in the system, and they end up to be a burden to each and every one of us living in the country who live a law-abiding life, even those of you who, speaking of the minister I talked to, I always said that we got to make sure that no children under the age of 18 should be allowed to use marijuana, okay? I always said that if it was passed, you should be out of school 18 or 19 because it has many potential medical uses, the marijuana, because they use it for post-traumatic stress. You know, they use it for various different reasons. You know, and also, not just for smoking, the tree is that we have growing in the world today and in a short period of time. It also could create Earl, pants, shirt. So it could be cultivated not just for smoking, but it'd be cultivated into a product, like I said, like clothes. You see, it's so hot now. And we cut down so many trees in the Amazon, around the U.S. and around the world, even here in the Bahamas. So this plant has so much potential. You know, you could use it to make paper. Reduces us from destroying the natural trees. In 6 months, you could cut it down and you could be manufacturing tons and tons of newspaper. Some people could use it and go to school and find ways to make it into so many different products that I can't even imagine. But I know that besides medical use, one of the safest products in the world when it comes to, like I say, producing air, reducing the cost of cutting down trees, we could use that. It grows fast. You could use it for so many different things, and this is a great opportunity for the Bahamas and for the students. Like I said, I don't think no one who is in school should be able allowed to use it, okay? I think you should be 18, 21, be allowed to use it for recreational use. I don't know exactly what is that, but I think that if you're using it for recreational use, you should be in your yard. Outside the yard, it's a fine. So if you're in the road smoke, going on buses, some people might want to go on the bus car, you got recreation. No, there has to be restriction. Either your home, you know, in the back of your yard, fencing yard, or you're sitting, no parks, you know, et cetera. But you can't be in the open. You can't be walking on the road. You understand? That's a no-no. You can't be driving in the bus. They catch you in the road with it. They write you up and give you a fine for being stupid. You understand? I don't know what they're going to do as far as people still selling it illegally. That's another discussion for a later date. But I just want to give my input. Yeah, and there were some of the things that did us an individual that are coming to pass right now. So I have an opportunity to speak on behalf of many people in the Bahamas that I know it affects. And even the set that it affects, I speak for them also because, like I said, you know, you can't go on a bus. You know, not everyone smokes marijuana. You understand? Marijuana. You understand? Treatment for you. If we find kids like that, they need to go to treatment. They need classes. They need programs because we must remember that the human and our youths in our country today, because this right now is affecting a lot of our kids in the country today, because a lot of the kids who go to school are actually on marijuana. This isn't no if and no buts. This is the real world. A lot of kids in junior high school are on marijuana. You ride around the streets, you look through the corners. That's why you have the problem, like having police, like having the community watch over these abandoned houses where these kids go. That's one of the reasons I talk about the environment, because I see these kids go in these houses. I see these kids go in these yards with high grasses and stuff. That's one of the reasons I'm cleaning up in the Grand Sound community that I reside in now and removing all the abandoned houses. You understand? Because I see these, I see what the kids go to school today are on marijuana. So we have to find somewhere we're going to slow that down. And one way we're going to do it is putting screen restrictions like 18. And then if you find a kid smoking marijuana, they have to go to classes and try to see how we can persuade them to not use it. And see how that is going to change their mindset in this country. So, yeah, you don't have to be a politician to make change in the country. And Tommy Tynecrest, you know, I talked to him. He tabled it. And he told me that we're not passing this government. And today it's passing in the House of Assembly. So between two governments, you know, not only me, but I would like to see happen. You know, some people might disagree, you know, and that's their right. Some might not understand, but we have a problem. Like I said, I see it every day. You know, I've had the problem too. You understand? So I'm not just speaking from, I think I'm going to have a conversation on the matter. But like I said, you know, you don't have to be a politician to make change. And I've worked with numerous government over the years to have that voice and to have that. I've heard Minister Tommy Tynecrest call me in the House of Parliament when one of these bills was also tabled in the House of Assembly. And a lot of people ring me. I was working with GEMS radio station. And I think it was Debbie Bartlett or Andy Pinder called me and told me that they were talking about me in the House of Parliament concerning the programs that we were doing and that were passed as legislation, able to help get a law passed that's going to be beneficial to Bahamian people. No, I was not. I'm just a concerned citizen, okay? Because I care about my country. I care about those who I don't even know. That's why when most time people hear me talk to people, but deep down inside of me, you know, I have no hatred. I understand the situation, you know? I understand that we have to protect the bombers for vehemence. I understand everything you're saying. But still, for me, as a citizen, I see their suffering, because we are suffering here in the bombers as well, and they are brothers and sisters. And one thing I try to do is I try not to discourse or discard bombers. You understand? So we have to find a way on how we could come to some type of understanding that we have a country, we just fix the problems that we have going on in the country as far as our immigration policies. After them sign on it, they don't have to be citizen. You know, regulate them as much as possible. Those who are not regulated, you know, coming here illegally, we have to find a way how we're going to deport them, treat them fairly, and deport them out of the country quick as possible, you know. But for those who are here, we're going to try and give them whatever the law requires and what we feel we have going on in the country as far as our immigration population in the country. It's in many different government departments. You get in the police, you get in the government, you get them hospital, you get them teachers, you get them nurses, you get them doctors. You understand? Some over the generation are Bahamians. So the back and forth we're doing, we ain't making no sense. I mean, you're taking up our land, taking them this. But how you know the person right on the side, you're an Haitian national? And they get people who could get you. And you're right there running the big mouth, oh, this and that, they hate this and that. But you don't even know who you're talking to right on the side of you. What if the police officer right there is a Haitian? You don't know who you're talking to. So like I said, you know, we have a serious problem in the country, but it's not so serious. It's just that we have to table what our problem is as far as the immigration policy. How are we going to treat those who are 20, 25 years? There's nothing much we can do with them. But what we can do, like I said, is we have to show that in this Bahamas, this is the best little place in the world. So I just wanted to talk about that. But we have a call on the line, and if the caller want to talk, you're on Inside Inner City. Go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, good night.
Yes. Based on what you just said is the reason why we need to get our country. You shouldn't be afraid. The mere fact that what you're saying is, oh, you got to watch out because you don't know who next to you. That's not a good thing at all. That means that you don't even have freedom in your own country, because there's so much people coming in here. We don't know who they are, because the person next to you may violate you or because they have a different descent. That's a scary proposition. So, I mean, to some, that may not be a serious situation we're in, but to me hearing that, that's scary.
No, it is what I said just now. That's what's happening right now.
Right, but that's what I'm saying.
That's why I'm letting
there for them. They don't want to fix this because they want a new voting block. Both of us parties. Because if you want to fix this, you would somehow change the law in Article 7 saying that if your parents or if people come in illegally, they will not have the ability to get citizenship.
Like that. See, that is good. Like how you speak just now. You could say it one more time for me, please.
No, what I'm saying is...
No, you make good sense. Just say it one... You could repeat it for me just one more time.
What I'm saying is we have something in the Constitution or in Article 7 saying
yes,
that persons who born, even if they come in illegally, once they have kids here, kids are entitled to apply for citizenship at the age of 18.
Yes,
that
sir.
That law needs to be... Because it's almost like we give an incentive to persons to come in illegally and have a kid. If we somehow change that or make a law saying that if the parents came in illegally and have a child in the Bahamas, you'll give them either residency or the ability to work.
I like that.
Not give them citizenship.
I like that.
We have been given citizenship away like this candy. I don't understand. I'm not a politician.
Yes, sir.
And I can come up with that.
Yes,
why can't these politicians for all these decades not come up with one simple thing to amend the Constitution for all these decades?
Yes, sir.
Why? You think about it. Why comes in and all the people come in? Because the Democrats want a new voting bloc.
Yes.
Before they used to be trying to get the black vote.
Mm-hmm.
No, they no longer in the interest of the black vote. They want the immigrant vote. So my last thing I'm going to say before I go.
Go ahead, sir.
We need to address. It's not going to be addressed until they address our comments.
That's right.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm saying the same thing as you're saying. No, you did a wonderful job. You explained everything, what I was trying to get to, but you explained everything that I was trying to say. Those amendments, like, you know, he talked about steps, you know, and giving you, not citizenship, you know, giving you, you know, and that's the kind of talks we need to hear in the country, because this country is only 21/7, you understand? And I think we can do better. You know, my topic was not about immigration or Haitian nationals, but it's good to spice it up a little bit, because you see, as you have the conversation, people would come and speak, but also they'd have a great solution. That young man who called us now, he came up with a great solution. Everything he said is the truth.
Scooby, how you doing?
I'm fine. Good night.
I'm good. I think going to the next election, whatever party you're looking to do a comprehensive immigration reform,
yes, sir,
would probably be the one who elected as a government of about all the sectors.
Yes, sir.
And find out what job is required and what labor is required. And we get the numbers from those sectors, we can begin to vet people,
yes,
in various countries around the world,
mm-hmm,
and pick the best that we want,
yes,
to come into the Bahamas. For example, food service and hospitality need this amount. And I think we can use our embassy's office to vet these people. They can present their credentials. And then once they put it online, we could have our people begin to vet them in terms of teaching them. If they don't speak English,
mm-hmm,
let them do a core part of it. We send some of our physicians at the embassy to vet them and make sure they're okay to coming into the country.
Yes, sir.
And we give them for a period of time. We can make money from it.
Yes.
And then we say, look, you pass on the criteria, you have adequate housing, you're allowed to come. But we can't go on just letting people come illegal.
No, sir.
And just saying we need bodies.
No.
To fill the jobs, and we need them now.
No. We got to.
You know, it makes no sense, but I think it's an opportunity for us to do it.
Yes, sir.
To do it properly. Sign up in a country in Asia. And to run an office there, if you didn't have a college degree, they wouldn't even let you in.
Wow.
Because they say, what are you bringing? We're not going to give you jobs that our people can do.
Yes, yes.
If you can work in a restaurant and cleaning yards, you know.
Yes, sir.
And we have to do this, look at a holistic thing. We're not saying we have a phobia against people coming in, but structure it properly. Look at the sectors and say, we have a quota for this sector, for agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
We have a quota for this sector and that sector. And let them apply.
Make sure that, you know, it deals with hygiene and health.
Yeah, but more so, I mean, I'm not talking with people who, even if their parents are...
No, you're talking naturally. You're talking about anyone.
If they're born here, then I think at the age perceived, they should be able to apply and become a Bahamian citizen.
Yes, sir. On us. And that's what a lot of Bahamians are saying around the country today.
You know? That's all it is. Let's do it properly, man.
Yes, sir.
We're smart enough to do this, man.
Yes, sir.
You know? Thanks, brother.
Thank you very much. Like I said, you know, I appreciate the callers. You guys, you come up with a great conversation. You have great just doing a phenomenal job. Yeah, calling in on Inside NSC. And that's what I like, to have a conversation with civilized Bahamians, you know? You know, I'm a host, and notice I don't get at nobody. You know, I don't cut people, you know, because I don't believe in that. You know, and you don't like to know my background. It's because I'm bad, and, you know, but I always had manners. And now that I have been able to change my mindset, I could have a conversation with anyone without even getting upset. You understand? And that's how it's supposed to be as Bahamians. But you wouldn't like to know my past. But I sit down in bars and on the streets, and I talk to some of the most important, powerful set of people in the country. I think... And I'm very respectful. We're going to take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City on Guardian Radio.
Hey, welcome, my brother, as well.
Yes, good night to you.
Listen, man, all us come from same place, man.
Same place.
Grow up in my own business right now.
Wow, awesome,
you
man.
You feel me?
Congratulations,
I had no daddy. You understand what I said?
Congratulations, my brother.
A lady. They grew me up. You feel me?
Yes, sir.
And on the sisters and my uncles, same thing. Other family members.
Wow.
these guys just got to stop being followers and be better leaders, man.
Yes, sir.
And that's how you think you is.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me?
Yes, sir.
These guys, I don't know. I don't understand it, man.
Hmm.
It's just like they like, man. Nah, that's all I can boil it down to, but really and truly, you understand? Because as you get older, you grow. You elevate yourself, man. Elevate your mind and things, man.
Yeah, because it looked like you're working out for me.
That's what I say. All these little niggas getting killed.
But, boss, that's the thing. What I can't figure out, right? They do shoot today, right? And tomorrow, the police don't get them in custody to know the whole 9 yards, you know? And then, like, if this would be in bodies, right, buddy? Y'all could have the title.
Exactly. And it's about to follow us. You won't got to have no friends, you know? And it's not, it's your family, you know what I mean?
Yes,
your cousins,
sir.
And things.
Yes.
That's your friend. Outside presence come from to have so much authority on your life.
Oh, yeah, I know.
You know? Yeah. I can't even fathom me even thinking the way these guys thinking today. And like I say, all I can boil it down to is like it, man. You understand? Use a man, there is man. Let them do it, you know, that for young men around here, man. Plenty of opportunities, man.
Yes, sir.
They're all just looking for that quick money. And it ain't, listen, it feels good right in that moment. You know what I mean? But when you really realize what's going on, that's a fleeting experience.
Yeah, that's only illusion. You go into the nightclub, that little money you take from the little hit, you go into the nightclub, you go bops it out, right? You give your girlfriend a couple of dollars when you look, she get one, sweetheart. Eh? Brothers out there, y'all got a lot to learn. Y'all better listen to this young man who's talking to y'all, you know. Y'all better
listen to me. I know you know the same thing. The majority, like back when we was back in the day, man, majority of fellas used to box up with, thing, a fight with. They're your good friends and thing today, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
All tight. Maybe in different areas or whatever.
Yeah.
But y'all experience is the same, man.
Yeah.
And it's not, I said, majority of fellas, I could see maybe 100% these guys are my good friends today.
Mm-hmm.
Who we fight, we talk about the fight. Mm-hmm. And it's not after the fight that these guys don't communicate.
Yeah.
They don't communicate. They have no communication. That's what's going on with this place right now.
Let me give you a prime example. A time ago, my friend Musha, he dead. And Douglas Anna, both of them dead. And Lem Fernando, three of them are dead now. So I was sitting down on the porch to my cousin twin, they was there, they could witness, they listened to the show right now, and Dog and Lem was in the back of the yard. Now, not knowing to me, they had a shootout earlier that day, but I was on the road, and when I came, same time I reached the corner, they told me, say, boy, you ain't know your boy, that big shootout. I said, what happened? They were in the same area.
Area.
So now, this the difference between the generation now. Now, knowing that, when they tell me that, I say, but if Musha in the front and Dog and Lem in the back, but this ain't going to end well.
Exactly.
So you know what I did? This is what I did. I went to Musha and I say, right? He jump over his gun. He said, where it is? I say, hold on, buddy. I say, listen, man, they're in the back of the yard. They ain't know you in the front. I say, just give me a second. Let me go in the back there and let me talk to Dog and Lem for a minute. He said, no, boy, shoot you, boy. I ain't into that, boy. These niggas didn't shoot at me. They didn't shoot at them. I say, man, listen to me, brother. I say, and they walk in the back of the yard, Dog and Lem in the back of the yard, they smoking two big joints. You know, they dead party. One get 357 Magnum, Lem get 357 loaded Magnum in the yard, Dog get 9mm in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
I walk in the back of the yard, I say, Dog, Lem, Dog is the senior man, Lem respect Dog. I just yell, you want Musha in the mouth and let the shoot out. I say, but Musha in the front. So Dog and Lem, they jump on their guard, start peeping left, right, and left from right. And I had to explain. I said, man, no money right in the front. I just tell him, stay in the front. He said, boy, told you, baby, kill this nigga now, man. Two of them saying they won't kill one another. I say, hold on, brother. I say, I hear. I say, as long as I hear, man, business. And I stand there between them. So Dog look at me. Lem look at me. They respected me because, you know, I was top dog too. But they senior man. You know, Musha come under me. But me and Musha taking over the area now. You know, I coming over the game. Now he's taking over. But he respect me because I bring him in the game. Second dog. I say, hold on. Let me just walk in the front, dog. I'm going to Musha. So anyone can tell you the story. I walk in the front. I say, y'all stay in the bar. I had a friend named Scott. I say, Scott, stay with them. And I walk in the front. Because Scott was with me, and he had a gun walking with me. I could tell the truth. He was walking with me. I said, what y'all going to do? He say, Scoochie, why I ain't did these niggas, but these niggas going to kill me. So I say, man, look, y'all. I say, let's go in the bar then reason. Right? So he said to me, okay. I say, I go walk in the front, right? I put my body on the line. I say, I go walk in. When I reach in the back of the yard, dog was starting to point the gun at me. Lamb was starting to point the gun at me. Not at me, but you know, in the direction, because that's him in the back of the yard. He get his gun on my shoulder, pointing over my shoulder. And I stand up like this. I say, hey, all night. I say, I ain't all business. Something. This is a real threat. I say, Mujhe, I ain't going to let this nigga shoot you. All right? I said, dog, you ain't going to shoot me, right? I said, Lem, you ain't going to shoot me because I ain't your business. All right? So I look at Mujhe. I turn around and I put my two arms over Mujhe's shoulder to make sure if they shoot, they can shoot me first.
Exactly.
You understand? So when he see that, he gave me one direction. I was pointing underneath to the ground. And I said, nah, dog, and Lem, y'all disarm yourself. I said, Scar, get dog gun. Scar and the dog, get the 9mm. I said, now go to Lem. Go on to Lem, get the gun. You understand? He had two guns. So now, when we get the one right, we start to talk. And I said, my brothers, y'all sit down and talk. Right? I said, man, y'all try reasoning out, man.
Exactly, man.
So now we leave from the four guns. On my way out, after they start to sit down and talk, I hear them all a couple of guineas, and I hear them a little laugh. I hear Lem call me back. Say, Scoochie, come here, man. Say, yeah, Caddis. Yeah, Lem had one out.
Hey, communicate. I guess what? Guess what? You was an individual just like me. You had a relationship with everybody.
Yes, sir.
You understand what I said?
Yes, sir.
You never side with nobody.
No, I never side with nobody.
You understand? So everybody appreciate that.
That's right.
You understand? You know, ain't no respect. Ain't nothing like that now. But these young fellas, they don't care about nothing.
No, you're right, my brother. That's what
going on. Don't care about their mom, their father, their brother, nothing.
No, all our mutual respect and everything get showed.
That go on. That go on, man. I got to go on. Because when I come back from Freeport, come back to now, like this.
Yeah, crazy.
You feel me? What the deal is? I sit everyone down with the deal is, man.
Yeah.
Why you all going through this? Who do what? What happened? You understand? Get to the nitty gritty and all some petty stuff who could have been avoided, man.
Yeah.
Hating on people and things and stuff like that, man.
Petty stuff. But when I hear what gun, I say, man, come on, man. This one in, over a gun or weed or a girl.
Or gal or something.
Or a little phone. Or this one say this one little. Well, I say, come on, man. These things we can easily resolve in these city communities, man.
Small little thing. This what you can do? You can break down our whole community, segregate it. Now anyone can come outside the community, inside our community, and do anything. Everyone separated.
Every Sunday we play basketball and I play with the younger guys in the community. And every time they try argue with one another, I'm always there to say, hey, bro, what y'all dealing with? And then no one comes out. I say, who we gonna play with? I say, you know the guy, he live around the corner, right around the corner, you know his mother, you know his daddy. So y'all arguing over a game now. But later on, I say, come on, man, think, man. And guess what? That's how we keep the park going on H Ballpark now.
I've been sure. Understand? So you got grandmothers who've been one little 30-something. Or late early 40s, and they child is in their 20s, and then they have another child who they growing up, who's a teenager.
Yeah.
You understand? I say, so nothing getting passed down.
No knowledge getting passed down.
You understand? Because no knowledge gets passed down from the beginning. Right. Long time back in the 70s and 80s, yeah. That doesn't get watered down, man.
You know, one time ago, they tell you, so like when it rain, you don't go in people's house. Now, you see people just walk in your house now. You know, one time ago, people would, before they come in the yard, they would say, who they is, you know. People just try walk straight inside the
house. None of that no more.
People just don't walk inside your house and they have a problem when you're stopping them to your door and walk straight in your fridge. I say walk straight in your fridge. They ask if you get another drink. They walk straight in your
That's the difference. That's the difference right there. The our heritage getting slowly but surely canceled out. Canceled out more. We getting more westernized.
Yeah.
You understand? Everything they see on TV, that's what they want to do. They want to be cowboy and Indian now.
You want to see our three guys, you know, coming out the car with a gun and, you know, letting you have it?
Exactly. You know? Don't care who ran.
You know what I mean?
Huh? Oh, exactly.
Now we're accustomed to it, in the Bahamas.
But they say they're driving a government car, too.
These guys slick, man. These guys are still government plates. Listen to me. Sometimes you see cars on the road. These guys are so creative. You know, that's why I say we got to change the mindset. These guys see a license car on the side of the road. So what they do, they go to the park car, take the license plate off that car, put it on the stolen car because they know once the police see it and they look at the license plate.
They ain't stopping that car.
You understand?
You got it.
And they just go and take the license plate back off and put it on the tree. So a lot of people
getting sharp now.
So a lot of people out there might get pulled over and they wonder why the police pull them over. This is the same license plate would do the murder or shoot them around. So you might even get spiked up because you could be smoking and then join them.
That's a good lineup though. That's what that car had up to the end of the corner. That car just put right in front of them, man.
Hey, listen to me. Facebook killing millions of people. But naming guys and girls in this country on Facebook, they just be sharing their location. I ain't lying, boss, like you say. I try to preserve my life as much as possible, and I was a rude boy. You understand what I'm saying? And how much time I ever get shot at? Even as smart as I was always still getting shot at, right?
Exactly.
And these guys, they're making it easy.
And they dumb and stupid.
I just was a citizen now, but I still know what's going on in the street. I see this guy come upstairs, and I say, hold on. This can't be the guy who just shoot the guy around the corner. You know what? I said, boy, if this back in the day, he make my day. I say, right now, to be in the bush right now. See,
his face he would have seen for being stupid would have been me because he make my day.
They stupid and bold these days.
Yeah, they don't take life serious. You know, they shooting not guys, right? Shooting innocent people and walk the streets the very next day, and then they become a victim.
Very next day.
Very next day.
Absolutely correct.
And then when you look, that's exactly what they see. You know what that means, right? They tell the man everything.
They tell him everything.
They tell the man everything.
So you living a lifestyle, but yet you ain't living the lifestyle what you get. You understand?
Because that's what most people game.
That's a whole different story.
You on the man time. You just call him the man. Excuse my language, but I'm letting the general public know we talking about
him. He was the real soldiers and everything.
Dennis knows the real soldiers. I have seen so much guys break down and
fall right up right in front of you.
Fall right up. bring in the whole neighborhood.
Exactly.
Guys who did things back 5, 10 years, then bring up one thing on charges, and guess what? That cost their life. But now the guys who they go and tell the police to, now seeing them and say, yeah, all right, well, you going to speak a lock up? All right, then.
That's right.
That's the end of them.
Apple down, babe.
Yeah.
You got to grow up. You got to grow up.
And you see guys getting killed with their gun on them. Because you get your gun on you, and you're still slunking. You know why? Because gun can't save you, brother.
No, you scared.
You're scared, gun can't save you.
That's the last thing you're thinking of, pulling that gun out your waist.
When the guy brings a couple shots at you, you forget me. Listen to me. Anyone can tell you. I had gunpoint at guys who was my enemy. And they had no gun on them. This was back in the day. And two, I said myself, they disarm. I said, know what I tell them? I said, brother, you go get your gun and then come back and me and you go have a shootout. Me and him go at it like that because I had him at disadvantage. You understand? That's how it was back in our day.
Unless that was an extreme situation.
Extreme situation.
Let's put it that way.
Right. I don't give him a chance if it was an extreme situation. The name of it. You know what I'm saying? But he's
The government can do the police, they can knock their laws or do whatever, but it's all up to the individual.
Like you said, my brother, ain't nothing they can do. The only thing we can do is try to empower the people and just continue to help us. If the police could help us, you see every day, three guys with high-powered weapons pulling up and shooting the place right up, 70, 80, 90 shells on the ground. Huh?
I wait to see the... And go on the house and find all them drugs and guns and ammunition and thing in there.
Now, this is the next thing. You hear what? How you get pulled over? He's in the road driving.
You don't have a real story, right? You don't have a real story. You know the law.
All right.
You know the law.
All right, then. That's a real story.
Let's just leave it like that.
I don't feel the fact that he could be driving. What kind of bad man this is with all these tools and all his weapons and all his marijuana? Could be on the road driving.
Recklessly? Reckless.
And get all them stuff home? Boy, listen, I would have been making 5 miles per hour.
All they had to tell, they stopped the vehicle and they checked out.
Okay.
You understand? Don't try and lie. They're talking to no foolish. Just trying to protect somebody.
All right, then.
You understand? Everyone know this thing go on the road.
What, you think one of your friends did it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, see, like we say. But anyway, man, you did awesome. You want to say anything before you go?
I just want to every day be around, hanging around the fellas, just getting their perspective and hearing what they saying and this, like that, you know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
And I just put my phone right in the middle of everybody and play your show. When you come on, man.
Wow,
we really appreciative that we have a show from somebody who could educate us and try and speak to us the same way you're speaking up to me now, man.
Yeah, man.
We really appreciate that.
Yeah, man.
And keep going, my brother. That's a great show you got here, bro.
Yeah, man. Thanks a lot, man. I love you guys calling. And you all make the show fantastic, too, you know, because callers like yourself, You know, you're the ones who really make the difference because I have a wonderful job. Like I said, I'm here to represent the Bahamian people. And by the call, by the calls that are coming in from the caller shows you that we are in tune with one another. We want the general public to know. We even talk about ourselves. You know, we were just talking about ourselves just now when we talk about the gangs on the streets, okay? You know, be 95% honest, trustworthy, and hold my integrity as much as possible. Because I know that we need these kind of models in our country, like the caller state. You know, he came from that background, now he have his own business. You know, we all in the same boat. And there are thousands of them in the country who are, you know, we could talk about government, but sometimes we have to criticize ourselves. And right now, I say to all the young men out there, listen to me. You're not going to be able to win the war. You know, find forgiveness in your heart and try to avoid conflict as best as you're going to be. You know, what you want to do in life, you know. How are you going to be able to support your girlfriend, your wife, your mom, your dad, your aunties, your nieces, and stuff like that, you know. These are the great streets, you know. See my uncle by the red light on Market Street? He lives on the streets, you know. He don't have a roof over his head. He wasted his whole 60-something years on this earth. He don't have a house, he don't have a car, he don't have a check. You understand? So what he was in this life? Nothing. You want to be like that? On a red light, oxen, be emotional, stressed because you're in a marriage and, you know, they get hurt. Some people. Then you have some people out there who, gangsters and girls who party all day, go to the nightclub, you know, get paid, hustle a couple hours, you don't have a steady job, you don't have no income coming in. Right? When you're lucky, you end up basing those years. You don't have a sprint no more. Time pass. You ain't 20 no more. You're 30, you're 40. When you reach 45, you're still paying rent. You barely could pay rent. By the time 45, you're supposed to be able to have your house. You know, don't waste illusion. That is wasted time. You understand? You want to be like those girls who on the streets, you know, selling their body because they don't have no future. You know? That's what's going on in our country. And then you want to have children. And then the children's going to suffer because teens are going to be 10 times expensive. If teens are expensive now, what you think in the next 5-10 years? The man or, you know, woman, from woman to woman to woman to woman. You ain't making no sense. Then when you look, you get put out. You're sleeping on the street. You got to, you know, that's what happened to a lot of us. This is crazy. You know? Focus your mind. You see what it is now? Mate. Just January the other day. Focus.
Okay. Let me see.
Government to tighten the Firearms Act. For me. They're talking about how assembled here in the country, and this is what going on in our country today. So we learned that from America. I saw it on TV a few years ago. Now we have Bahamian American who come from the States. You know, they are in the States. They have many different courses. You understand, with different programs and a lot of a printer. And these can actually be made into guns. Yep, unassembled here in the country. And the police is stating that now, and they're looking to toughen firearm act. We have a generation of just persons who are violent. And the only way we're going to counteract that is change the mindset. And the only way we're going to change the mindset is to start investing from the primary school to the junior high school, through sports, through history, building up the community, working with the churches, working with the prison. We don't start to really, really invest in our youths, then we're going to keep pace with 100 murders per year. And that is staggering because 100 murders per year in a 21-by-7 with 700 islands, 700 keys, if you look at that, it is called a conflict zone. Pro 100,000 conflict zone. You understand? So we need to put the necessary programs in place. Like the caller said, the government trying to toughen the firearm act, but even that is not going to make a big difference. My producer saying we have to take a break on Guiding Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back on Guiding Radio 96.9 FM.
Boy, shh, you don't want bullet hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it'll go straight to your phone.
There is also... Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas, so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day, and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick round the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau.
Good night and welcome back to Guiding Radio 96.9 FM. I'm your host, Valentino Braun, a.k.a. Scroogey, Mayor, MP, you know, many different nicknames. I would like to say a special thanks to my auntie, Lillian Brennan. She's an immigration officer at the Immigration Department. I have a family, you know, auntie is an uncle, Barry Brennan is my uncle. He's a former police officer. And my auntie Lillian Brennan, my auntie Iwani. Iwani is a cheapskate now. That's my auntie Iwani. You know, she don't come outside, but she's a cheapskate, you know. She ain't doing too much for me. She loved me, but she ain't doing too much for me. Like how my auntie, uncle, my auntie, Lillian, my auntie, uncles growing up, you know, it was like that, you know. They have never told me no, not once in my life. You know, when I was changing my life and changing my mindset, I went through a stage where I was selling drugs, you know, and that was my only income. And I had come out of the gang and I went into the drug business. And when I wanted to get out of the drug business, it was the most difficult thing for me because that was my only income. And my aunt and my uncle was the one who kept me going, you know, because many nights and ends like that, I used to have a lot of floor money coming in and out my aunt, you know, drug, illegal money. And the caller stated that, you know, that money is not going to last. It's not going to last. Just like how that guy you see get locked up on news and all those firearms and all the marijuana. He had fun for a little while. Now he is locked up and kill people now. Those same guns we saw on display, you don't know how much guns he already sold to Bahamians in the country that are in their possession. And they have used those guns in recent murders. See, this how the thing is working, you know. We might see all those guns on the news. Now, I'm not putting that in to incriminate this gentleman. I'm just saying that for how long could have we been selling firearms? And those firearms, that, you know, all those murders are on that poison, but we can never come to that conclusion or have that much evidence. But that's how it go. You know, then we never charge him for it. But the guns are on the streets right now. We don't know how many guns he sold to different individuals in the country that are wreaking havoc on the streets. You understand? So we just have to change the mindset of level. You understand? And that's what we're going to have to work on in the country. Yeah, my last topic tonight, I think I just want to go through this real quick. China to fund new hospital. You know, if you want to comment on this, we could comment on this. Far as I can say, it's just my opinion. We need to know. I see it in the newspaper the very next few days. And, you know, I said that a few times I told you that the Princess Margaret Hospital that was built in the 1950s or 1940s. I have the date right. I think 1949 or 1959. It has outgrown the population. Around the time when the Princess Margaret Hospital was built, it was built for a population, I think, 400,000 people. The only other hospital we have is Doctors' Hospital. And we all know that a lot of Bahamians don't have health care, right? So the majority of people who are going to suffer are in the Princess Margaret Hospital. And if you want to be taken care of properly, you have to go to doctor's hospital. We all know you need health insurance, and you have to be a person who has, you know, some cash flow. So we all knew that. And then the private, they know that we have outgrown the Princess Margaret Hospital. Now, a lot of people are objecting and having that say because of the vicinity of where the hospital is going to be constructed. You know, I think it's out west. And, you know, they're talking about the traffic, the ambulance, and et cetera. And then we have some, what's his lady name now? One second. Where's his lady name now? I got to reach out. We have this lady in the Tribune, and she says, yeah, more than half of doctors feel the new $290 million hospital is not physically, there's no hospital without the physicians. Dr. Roll, unveiling the initial feedback from association members. They told the Tribune that there were multiple unanswered questions over the proposed project, including why the government cannot even utilize what we have now. Okay, she's talking about the Princess Margaret Hospital. But basically, you know, she has a point, you know, I'm not there. You know, she talks to the doctors and the physicians. You know, the only thing I'm going to say is this. Yes, we need new hospitals in this country. You know, there's going to be a lot of objection, you know. And sometimes you just have to be able to make the hard decision. You know, hospital is needed. You know, it is needed. I think it's going to be a children's hospital, 200 beds. You know, it's needed. You know, the people has a right, but we need a new hospital. And I think that we need more qualified physicians here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, you know, and I think it'll give a lot of the physicians an opportunity to be involved in a new brand new hospital. I think it's a plus for us. As far as the Chinese, the fund new hospital, let me see what they said, yeah? It's a 20-year loan going to be a part of it. As far as that's concerned, you know, they're talking about a 2% increase in interest. Like I always said, you know, the Prime Minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, he has to be able to negotiate on behalf of the Bahamian people. You know, we had the budget. We have a budget coming up in July. No one agreed for 2% in interest. Time too bad. Many people say, why the Chinese? And why they going up the people working here? But listen to this, man, people. If something needs to be get done, hey, let it just get be done, you know, because we need the hospital, you know. If China wants to fund it, so be it. You know, they're going to give us a 2% interest, and it's a 20-year loan agreed. And if you're going to be able to pay the cost, I think it's $290 million in 20 years, I think we could pay it back. I think that's a good deal, but I also hope that we have a lot of Bahamian construction companies and people in the construction field, which the government will interject in that and make that a priority. But the Chinese, I can't say, tell the Bahamian people stop complaining, but we do need a new hospital, and it's going to be a government decision. It's going to be a government decision. You know, sometimes you just have to just go ahead and do it. We're going to take this last call on Guardian Radio. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Hey, Scrooge, good evening. How are you doing?
I'm fine, sir.
My brother, it's always a pleasure to have a spot in your show just to give my comment. I've been crying for a new hospital, as we've been crying for several other things to kind of bring us to a comfortable level in terms of healthcare, education, so on and so forth. The only question, the main question that has to be asked, you're talking about this $290 million over a 20-year period.
Yes, sir.
We do not want to see this amount of money that is collected. First and foremost, I have not heard a schedule where as the government is saying that all services in that hospital has to be paid for. It's not a free service. It's not to be given away to persons free of charge.
Oh.
In order to pay this debt off, it takes money.
It takes money.
And if you're going to put it on the backs of the Bahamian people, that means we've seen where things have been written off. But yet, at the end of the day, this thing goes on the taxpayers' back.
Yes, sir.
And it also, what concerns me is this money collected then going to go into the consolidated fund where this fee will never be paid off, such as our national debt?
Mm.
There's so many concerns that the Bahamian people have. We have found, and I could just see this $290 million, if that is what we're going to collect. It's going to end up, all the fees collected is going to go right into the consolidated fund, deferred to doing other things in this country instead of paying this fund off. And then, therefore, the lender then is now beholden to the lender.
Yes, yes, yes.
You see, that is the biggest thing that we have in this country. And we have to be very sensible about our country, unbeknownst to the Bahamian people. Again, where with the Bahamian people, when you think you're getting a bargain, it is not really a bargain.
Nope.
So, in essence, in closing, then...
I understand. Go ahead, sir.
In essence, I'm going to close on this one point. You see, we have our officials and we have these pundits who always talk about Bahamians like to complain.
Yes, sir.
But let me tell you something. Bahamians have to complain because when we are being commercial on TV that used to say the best consumer is an educated consumer is the best customer. You have to educate us. We let us have a space where the Bahamians decide whether they're for this or they're not for that. You cannot come with half truth. You have to give us the full truth and allow us to participate.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I get it.
This is the thing. Personally,
okay.
How the affairs of this country is being run, and it falls on us, the elder generation, but more so, it's going to fall on our children who have to now adopt this thing.
Yes.
When are we going to now bring some semblance where we be responsible for getting rid of a whole lot of this debt instead of our children acquiring it at a later time? That is coming from, well, yes, it's coming from, it's suspected to come from the China Exim Bank. I'm taking it. But at the end of the day, when you collect these monies, how are we going to pay this debt back off? That's all I'm going to say. Thanks for taking my call, school.
Thank you very much. You said a mouthful, boy, you ought to be laughing. So, Bahamian people like to complain. And then you give a prime example why the Bahamian like to complain. So what you're saying, in other words, that we put them as the official, and it's a 20-year loan agreement. But the caller is trying to insinuate that there's something else, you know. Even though we getting this sweet deal and the Chinese is paying for this, and even though they're going to give it to us at a 2% interest, he's saying there might be some other incentive. Probably they want to give the Chinese some grand lani, you know, earn. What are you saying? Because the 2% interest sounds good. The 20-year loan sounds good because it's really low interest. But the caller is insinuating. And I'm reading his thoughts. He is insinuating that there could be special interest given to the Chinese here in the country. And guess what? If it's going to give out a line, nobody is not going to happen. We park you up, Mr. Davis. You know, because you know people have been saying they've been given a line. So yes. You know, yes, the caller. I don't blame him because based on how our politicians are doing business and been doing business in our country over the years with different superpowers, Chinese, the Americans, the British. You know, there are some sneaky deals that really posted to the government, and then the government in turn gave them land. So why not the Chinese? Okay. Okay, we're going to take this last call. We have a few more minutes. We're going to give you 2 minutes, but go ahead.
Good day, David Stark, University Scooch, along with you.
Good day.
Can I say, the thing is...
You got to turn down the radio.
I don't know our town.
You got to turn down the radio.
For me to not be getting anything. Those Chinese was to the family islands looking around. I think that was 7 months ago, okay? Not only that, our brother Wood was in the house of a family, right? He died now. Ferguson.
Wow. And this is the things we're going to have to investigate. So it takes the citizens of the country, like the caller stated, to have a voice. You understand? And you have to let the government know these things, you know, because we need to know what's going on, you know. I mean, deal is sweet. We need a new hospital. I'm not going to say, you know, we don't need a new hospital. We definitely need a new hospital. Do you want, you know? But we do have to ask questions because we know our governments, concessive governments, have been bamboozling the Bahamian people for a very, very long time. And like you say, we are very smart now. And guess what? We could question everything. Even if it could be beneficial to us, still question it, because sometimes it benefits that we don't know that it's a sealed document. Now, you must remember now, these sealed documents will go missing. Now, I don't know how no sealed documents go missing, because like, if I remember the last time, and the prime minister, the former prime minister of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, the file gone missing? What the file name? But gone missing, or the office of the prime minister? Well, anyway, I copy it. So I don't know how this file could have gone missing, that the prime minister had been missing, you know? But, you know, because he didn't want the Bahamian people to know what was on the contracts or on the deal. So he came up with, okay, then, file's gone missing. But no investigation has ever been done. The file has not been found till today. No investigation has been made. But I still want to know how these files get to the office of the prime minister. Like I say, they all have copies. I know when you go to the office, to get your police record, you just ask for a copy. You know, you get your passport, you might get a passport picture, but you get a copy of that too. So anything that goes into a high office, always have a copy. So that's when the prime minister lying, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, question it, but, you know, we need a new hospital. The concerns of the residents should be taken into consideration, you know. The 290, the caller asks, how are we going to pay that, you know? What taxes are we going to increase to pay for this? They are working a deal with China. But, like they say, the 20-year loan agreed at 2% interest comes at the backbone of the Bahamian people. And the caller talked about a generation who's going to be able, who's going to have to be able to pay for this hospital that will start this year. You don't have to be a politician to make change in this country. Many people in this country would hear me on this radio. And everything I say concerning my involvement in politics and things I know that have been helped table in this country. I've done some of the biggest programs in this country that is actually active right now that governments are doing. Right? Use your position of power. My little position of power is the fact that I was able to make a name for myself and have the experience that God blessed me with. And I used that to my advantage in order to help my country and to have a voice in this country that people listen to. No ties to PLP and FNM. And I tell you, one of my greatest supporters is Mr. Brent Simonet. And I've learned some from persons like that. He has never, ever, ever told me to support his party or support or talk about anything that involves his party. He always tells me he likes his wife. You understand? And they're not giving me no big money at all. They're just assisting me with the tools I need to make change in the community. And slowly, like slowly, we gain a great relationship. And one thing I learned, some people, they just my integrity. You understand? And they're one of my, like I said, they're one of my biggest supporters. And I'm still a struggling young man because the funds that I get, I spend in my community. You understand? And I'm working on my restaurant. And I'm working on other projects that I'm doing out my pocket. And I'm not rich. I'm struggling. I give thanks to society. They don't like a person like me. They might respect me. But they know that I'm doing something where I'm trying to break people out from being a worker to be a business owner. You understand? So I don't have that type of finance or that type of support from government or et cetera. But you know, my aunt and my uncle get me, so I'm not even concerned about nobody else in this country or this world. You know, if my back is against the wall, my aunt and uncle get me. So I'm not even worried. If I'm hungry, I could always go to the house. If I need something, I could always ask. I might not get it right then and there, but I would get it. And then if they're not be able to wire it, go to the blue. So that's your blessings. So if you change, I want to say this to the youngsters. Remember I said earlier, I used to sell drugs and didn't know what to do. After I stopped selling drugs, and I went to the positive life, and then my mindset changed, and then people would just come and assist. That's just how I was able to make a lot of things happen in my community. He comes to your aid, and he gives you ideas. The only thing you're going to have to do is, are you going to accept it, or are you going to deny it? Okay? Well, last, in closing, I just want to say this to each and every one of you. It's been a pleasure being your host on Guiding Radio, okay? I am the Bohemian, and all I want to see is a better country, okay? Next week, we're going to talk a little bit about some developments that are happening in the country. And I'd like for the callers who call in this week, you know, be a regular that a lot of us, we think a lot. And I think that you guys calling on the show, you're keeping it on the airwaves, you're expressing yourself, you guys are making the biggest change, because when callers like yourself can call on the show, you make sense. There are other people out there who are listening to you. If you listen to callers literally today, they talk about the Haitian nationals in the country. And everyone was very considerate and concerned about the Haitian nationals in this country. Some people talk about helping them get their green card, you know, talking about when they're 18. You understand? And that's great. And that's what we want as a country. But we must stop the illegal migration in this country if we want to have a better country for those who are coming here illegally and then they apply at 18. And then we could give them the citizenship or the green card and they become citizens of the country. But we have to be able to secure our borders and so that we could get the poverty level decrease in this country and get the empowerment level increase in this country. And then from there, we'll see the country develop into a positive country. Okay? So I'm your host, Valentino O'Brien, a.k.a. Scoochie Scrooge or Scroogey, host of the talk show Inside Inner City. I'll see you next week on Guiding Radio 96.9 FM. Thank you very much for tuning in.